Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 11. This morning we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6 of the 11th chapter. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. In the course of time, when Jesus had finished instructing the 12 apostles, our verse says his 12 disciples, which is what it started out with in chapter 10 and verse 1. He called unto him his 12 disciples. Verse 2 of that chapter tells us there were the 12 apostles. So he finished instructing the 12 apostles concerning the mission of which they were sent. He sent them on a mission. And he departed from there, from that instructing them, to continue to teach and preach in the cities of the Jews. Said in their cities. Well, we've seen in the context of the 10th chapter, and this is just continuation. You move the 11th chapter 11 from this, and it's just a continued writing. We've seen that he sent them unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So basically, he sent them unto all the cities of the house of Israel. And he proceeded, and probably more specifically, to the cities of Galilee, which was his base, his region, in which he was branching out from. But he continued to preach and to teach in those cities where he had instructed the 12 to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, while he was busy about this business, about his work, there came to him two sent by John the Baptist with a question. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, two of John's disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. We've titled this message this morning, The Forerunner's Question. And you know who the forerunner was. John the Baptist. The one who we find in prison here. And he called two of his disciples and sent them with this question to Jesus. So, first of all, this morning, we want to consider the question. As we consider it, have you asked yourself, why would John the Baptist be asking this question? Are you the one? Had John begun to doubt? Had John wanted reassurance of some kind? What was his purpose in asking this question? Oh, there's a host of questions we could ask about that. And I suppose have been asked. But as we consider this question and begin to look at it, and the question was, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Well, in this question, we see that it concedes that the Messiah should come. There was one who was to come, the Messiah, which he was expected to come. I mean, if you were a Jew, you were expecting the Messiah to come. If you were a Jew, you knew even the earliest writings of Moses. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 concerning the Messiah. Concerning a conqueror. One who would conquer Satan. Coming. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head. That's the first promise that we have concerning the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah being foretold. You go on from there. And there were many other instances of one to come, of the Messiah to come. We see it in also in the book of Genesis, in Shem, the blessing that was given to Shem after the flood. Promise of the Messiah. We've seen it in Jacob and blessing Judah just before Jacob passed on, left this life. And he called his sons to him, and he gave Judah that blessing. We see the promise of the Messiah. We find promise of the Messiah throughout the Old Testament. Turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 118. The book of Psalms in 118, and look at verse 26. Where we read, blessed be he. Actually, I want to go up and read a couple other verses. Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You see, this is a direct quote referencing the coming of the Messiah, the one who's going to come and he's going to save. You see, we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So it was one that they expected. They expected one to come. And this question merely gives credence to that fact. That there is one to come. Are you the one? You see. Well, as we look at that question, are you the one? Or do we look for another? Well, John the Baptist had already told them, Levites and priests, that the Jews had sent to John to inquire of him whether he was the one or not. In John chapter 1, and you can turn there, John chapter 1, and in verse 20, John answers their question. He said, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. I am not the sent one. I'm not the one who's come to save. So John had given testimony of that fact, that he was not the one. He was not the Christ. You see? Well, why did John ask this question? Like we asked earlier, had he begun to doubt? Did he need reassurance? Not John. Not John the Baptist. Consider who John was. Consider the testimony that he had already given concerning the Messiah. He foretold of the Messiah. He preached to the multitudes that there was one coming, and there was one coming immediately in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11 he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He says, there's one coming after me, and I take that to mean he's right behind me. John knew he was 6 months behind him. Amen. And at this time, he wasn't even that far behind him. We see. He saw, John gives testimony of the fact that he saw the Spirit of God descending on him at his baptism and heard a voice from heaven declaring him the Son of God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, it gives us that account. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open. What happened? And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. Remember, when Jesus had come to him to be baptized, John said, not so, Lord. I have need to be baptized of you. See, John recognized who. John knew who he was. He'd already given testimony to that fact before his birth, when he was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, and he leaped within her womb at the sight of Mary. Amen. The presence of the Holy One of God being in the womb of Mary, we see. So he gave testimony to that. But look at John chapter 1 and verse 33. Should still be there. He said, in verse 33, he said, and I knew him not. This is John's testimony concerning Jesus' baptism, and concerning that event. His testimony to those Levites and priests that came to him, sent to him by the Jews. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So John had already been given a sign. He witnesses to the fact that I was told that the one you see the Spirit of God descending on, he's the one, and I saw the Spirit of God descending on him. Amen. Back there in his baptism in the third chapter of Matthew. But John tells us something that that Matthew doesn't tell us in the record of Jesus coming to him and to be baptized of him. He coming to him at the River Jordan to be baptized of him. And John tells us this in John chapter 1, verse 29. He said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So he, as we said before, he recognized that this was Jesus coming. And so when Jesus said, "John, you need to baptize me," John said, "Not so, Lord. I need to be baptized of you." He had given testimony of the fact that he was the Lamb of God. He not only gave testimony to the fact that he was the Lamb of God, but after his baptism, he gave testimony to the fact that he was the Son of God. In verse 34 of chapter 1 of John, it said, immediately after he saw the Holy Ghost sending upon him, he said, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." John knew who he was.
Amen.
John knew he was the Son of God. John knew he was the Messiah. And not only that, John knew he was the bridegroom. Turn over to the third chapter of the book of John. The third chapter. And look with me here. We'll read a few verses here, beginning with, let's begin with verse 25. "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And it came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, the one whom you baptized, and he was with you there at Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness," he bore witness, we saw it in John the first chapter, he bore witness to him, "Behold, the same baptizeth, and all men are now coming to him." You see the problem arising with John's disciples? Behold, all men come to him. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." He's saying that concerning Jesus Christ, the one whom they're asking. John's disciples are asking him about Jesus and about his disciples. And he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom," he said, "I am just the friend of the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly." I, John, rejoice greatly hearing him. "Because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled." John said, "I'm rejoicing, my joy is fulfilled because I hear the voice of the bridegroom. I'm just the friend of the bridegroom, but I rejoice to hear his voice." So he gave testimony of the fact that Jesus was the bridegroom. Not only that, he gave testimony to the fact that he cometh from above. Jesus came from above. And because he came from above, he's above all. Let's continue to read. Verse 30, he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm nothing. I'm just a man. But Jesus is the Son of God."
Amen.
"He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." So he gave testimony to the fact that he's the Lamb of God, he's the Son of God, he's the bridegroom, he's come from above, and coming from above, he's above all. And he finalizes it with, the fact that he's sent of God in verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. It's not measured. He has the fullness of the Spirit of God in him. You see. So, did John ask it for his benefit? Are you the one? No. John had no question as to who it was. He had already given testimony to who this was. This question was for the benefit of his disciples. I believe we have seen that and can show that already. It was for the benefit of his disciples that they might have witness from the mouth of Christ and might witness firsthand the works which he did, the miracles which he did, and the message which he preached, that they might see for themselves, they might hear with their ears, that all doubts might be removed from their minds, and show them that the one they were to follow was Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ. They were to follow the one whom John had preached about, the one whom John had testified about, the one who declared him to be the Lamb of God, who declared him to be the Son of God, who declared him to be the bridegroom, who declared him to be the sent one of God. That's who you're to follow. And you're to go and you're to witness it with your own eyes and to witness it with your own ears. John wasn't long on the earth at this point. He was already in prison, never to escape prison again. We'll see in three chapters from now in the book of Matthew, in the 14th chapter, he's finally beheaded. You see. Turn with me, though, one thought from the book of Luke in chapter 7, and this is the counterpart to Matthew's record here. Luke gives us one piece of information that I find a very important piece of information that Matthew didn't give us. You see, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 21, after that those two disciples of John had come and posed the question to Jesus, "Art thou he that shouldest come, or look we for another?" In verse 21 it says, "And in that same hour," immediately, right away, "Jesus began to cure many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight." You see? That they might witness. That they might witness with their own eyes the works which he did. That they might hear with their own ears the words which he spake. You see? It was important. That's important to you and I. You see? So, that brings us to the answer. Jesus gives them an answer. After showing them, their eyes witnessing it, their ears witnessing it, he says in verse 4, he says, "Go and show again these things which ye do hear and see." Go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. And so they get back to John and they witness these things. And John says, "He's the one I've been preaching about. He's the one I've been telling you about. He's the one that I said he would come after me. And he must increase and I must decrease. He's the one." John would tell them. But Jesus said, "Go and tell John. The blind receive their sight. And the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear,
the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Oh, blessed are the poor that have the gospel preached to them. They receive the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. After he in the same hour cured many infirmities, cured many plagues, cast out evil spirits, giving sight to the blind, he gives them the answer. He tells them to go back. He tells them to go back to John. He tells them to give testimony of that which you have seen and heard. What you have seen and heard. What you see, the blind men receive their sight. The lame walk. The evil spirits cast out. They're done by the mighty power of God.
Amen.
They knew this to be the mighty power of God. No man had power to do those things of themselves. So they knew it to be the divine power of God. They knew the Old Testament scripture. Psalms 146. Psalms 146 and in verse 8. They knew this scripture. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Another prophetic portion of scripture concerning the Messiah, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord coming with miracles in his works, performing the wonderful works of God. They are a fulfillment of divine prophecy. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah in chapter 35 that this would be the one. This would be the Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 35 in verses 5 and 6 we read, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the dead shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." In the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Praise God for that flowing water. Praise God for that living water. Jesus said, tell them what you've heard. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor, they were poor in spirit. They were spiritually poor. They saw their spiritual poverty and acknowledged it and sought after a remedy for it. They were not as the scribes and the Pharisees, thinking that they were righteous and thinking that they had no need of a remedy for their poverty. Why, we're not poor. We're blessed. We're blessed in Father Abraham. Jesus answered that too, didn't he? In the book of John chapter 8, when he told him, "If Abraham were your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. But you do not the works of Abraham. You do the works of your father, the devil, Satan," he told him. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, and again in chapter 72. The book of the Psalms in chapter 72. And we'll look here at verse 12. "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. The poor also
and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. You see, those who see that they're spiritually destitute, those who see that they're poor, those who see that they're needy, and they cry out in their poorness, they cry out in their great need, and he shall deliver them, he shall save them, he shall give them what they need. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. In verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1 along with it. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? He points them to that. He said, I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he said, the materials you build your house with, I've made them. I've created them. That's what he's pointing them to. And then look at verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made. All those things my hand hath made. And all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Poor and broken in spirit is whom I will look to, and trembleth at my word. These are the ones that Jesus preached to. These are the ones that received the preaching of the word of God, the preaching of Jesus. These are the ones that Jesus told those two disciples, go back and testify to John of the things which you've seen and the things which you've heard. The poor have the gospel preached to them. That is, they're saved. They're delivered from their poor and needy state, and they have it all. They have it all in Christ Jesus. They receive it. They receive it joyfully and gladly. They receive it by faith.
Amen.
And in love, you see. For these works that Jesus did, these words which Jesus spoke, they testify of him. They testify of him. Look with me at the book of John. The book of John, chapter 2, in verse 11, at the marriage feast of Cana, and Jesus turning the water into wine, you know. Notice what is said in verse 11. Do you ever notice that as you're reading that account? Or do you get bogged down with the fact that Jesus turned water into wine and it was better than the wine that had previously been served? Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You see, in those works, he manifested forth his glory. He manifested who they were. Those works gave testified of him. Chapter 3 and verse 2, when Nicodemus came to him, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, his miracles which he did testified that he was sent from God. Look what Jesus said in the book of John and chapter 10. The book of John and chapter 10. And we read up here verse 26. John 10 and verse 26. He said, but ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, actually I want verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And then he said, but ye believe me not. Look down at verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If I don't do the works of my Father, if I don't do the works of God, then don't believe me. He said, verse 38, but if I do, though ye believe me not, believe not me, believe the works. If you don't believe the hearing of my voice and the sound of my voice, well then believe the works. Then I do. That ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So these works and the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus testify of who he is. Testify that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Sent One. We're to testify of that which we've seen, that which we've heard. Oh, we've not seen it with the physical eyes as John's disciples did. We've not heard it with the physical ears as John's disciples did. But we've seen it with the eye of faith.
Amen.
We've heard it with the ear of faith.
Yes.
Praise God for the seeing and the hearing of faith.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice in verse 6, he gives a blessing. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The Jews stumbled at Christ's parentage and birth, the manner of his birth, the place of his birth, which they thought to be Galilee. It was actually Bethlehem of Judah, right where it was prophesied that he would come. They stumbled. They stumbled at his doctrine. They stumbled at Jesus Christ. They sought after a righteousness that was after works and not by faith. And so would not believe the Christ. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They sought it by works, not by faith. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled at the stumbling stone of faith. They stumbled at Jesus Christ. You must receive him by faith.
Amen.
As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be offended. So all who stumble at Christ, all who refuse to believe Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. They stumble at that stumbling stone. They stumble at the Lord Jesus Christ. You see. So the Jews stumbled. So does every Gentile, as we said, who does not receive it by faith.
Amen.
But they go on thinking that their way is good enough, their works are good enough to merit heaven, or their way is good enough if there is a way. There's no life after death. Well, they're going to find out one day. There is life after death. When they stand before their Maker, when they stand before their Judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they'll bow. Then they'll bow. All who go about to establish their own righteousness stumble at that stumbling stone. We're told in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, for they, Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And so is everyone who does the same thing. They're no different or better than was Israel. Christ must be sought after. He must be sought after by faith. So we're told in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. In closing, we that have witnessed great power, we that have witnessed the doctrine of Christ, that Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus works all sinners, but Jesus Christ came to save sinners such as me. And I know He did. How do I know He did? Because He saved me. We're to give witness of that. We're to give testimony. We're to give testimony of the things which we've seen and heard, just as the Apostle Paul did, standing before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. And he praised King Agrippa and built him up and told him that he was able to judge in such matters. And then he goes and he tells about his salvation experience. And the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells about seeing the great power of Jesus, about hearing the words of Jesus. That's all we're to, you and I are to witness as we go out and witness to folks. We're to witness of the fact, the testimony of seeing the great power of Jesus, the great words of Jesus, the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, leave you with this. Have you witnessed the great power of Jesus Christ? Have you witnessed the words of Jesus Christ? Have you witnessed the works, the work of salvation of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel? Shall we stand and have a song in closing, Brother Ron?